Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Chav Vav. We begin towards the bottom of Chav He Omud Beis, with four lines up from the bottom. To continue our discussion about various types of dinim related to a karpaf. So, Hahi Avarnaka. You have over here a area that's known as an Avarnaka. Rashi explains, this is Elon Shetzilo Meruba. This is a tree that's planted that has a wonderful, beautiful shade. The Notin Oso Hasorim, and this was specifically planted by officers, by important people. The Otsdin Osin Itztabos Tachtov, and they would put various types of benches or places that you could sit underneath it, Svivosov, around it. Lislonen Tachtov Bimosachama Osameach Shom. And you could relax over there during the hot summer days. The shade would be provided by the tree, and you would have a pleasant afternoon. So this Avarnaka, the Havilei L'Reish Gelusa. The Reish Gelusa was a very important official. He was the head of the Golus. And he had this Avarnaka, the Havilei L'Reish Gelusa, Bibustone. We had the word Bustani yesterday. Bustani means a certain type of an orchard, a certain type of a large garden area. And Rashi points out this was the Yoser Mi Beis Hasayim. This was larger than a Beis Hasayim. And it was Shiloh Hukof L'Dira. This whole area was enclosed, but it was not enclosed originally for residential purposes. So you have the 2 points here, that it's larger than a Beis Hasayim, and it wasn't Hukof L'Dira, so even though it's enclosed, you're not allowed to carry within this area. Which meant that on Shabbos, they couldn't get to this beautiful tree area, this Avarnaka, and they wanted to use it on Shabbos. So Amalei, the Reish Gelusa, tells Rav Huna Bar Chinina, he tells his Talmud Chacham there, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, do me a favor, make sure that this is usable on Shabbos. Yavid Mar, let the master, let the Rav, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, make some sort of a fix. Let him make takanta, make an arrangement here that we'll be able to go carry in this area. In other words, put up some sort of an erif, in the vernacular sense, make it that we can carry, that we should be able to go and eat our bread, we can have lunch outside in the beautiful, shady area under this tree. So what did he do? Rav Huna Bar Chinina went, Ozal, Ovad Kona Pachos Mishlosha, and he made using the principle of lavud, he made a whole bunch of vertical posts, all within 3 tefachim of each other. Now Rashi has 2 pshatim. The first pshat is over here on our daf, which means at the very bottom, Rashi, realize at the bottom, he made a hekev, he made an enclosure with these vertical posts, kigon mechitzas konim, dalid mechitzos kichoder, and he made a enclosed area with 4 walls. This is not like the picture that you have in the art scroll. There's a picture of this in the Pirush Chai and diagram 129, diagram 128, found on page 72, shows us what this Abernaki is, the tree with the surrounding, it's the post, the benches that you can sit on around it. And you can see a very good diagram of this also in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram number 159 on page 53. Now, this explanation, this first explanation according to Rashi, says that this was a separate enclosed area, not by the tree. And the purpose of this was to make this into a shomira, to make this into an area where the guard could stay. Laniach shom balayla hamaychol, they would put the food over there. The lodur shom hashomer, and the person who would be, quote, watching this area now has a house within this bustina. Ulamachar, therefore, since there's now a shomira, and we said if you have greater than a base of sayim, according to some opinions, if you had a house there, a shomira, you'd taltena b'chol apardes, you'd be allowed to go carry in the entire apardes. Do is be shomira ubeis dira, because that would, according to this havamina, retroactively make that this was hukof l'shem dira. This is Rashi's first pshat. However, Rashi, all the way on chav vav omud aleph, in Dibur Hamasku Lohora, or you can actually see it over here in Ardaf, in Tosfos, how Abarnaka says a different pshat. He says that we're dealing here, and this is from the Truvas Hagonim, he brings down, and Rashi writes, V'yosho be'enah, he prefers this pshat, ma'od, a lot, and he says that this bustana, again, is a karpaf yosim beis hasayim, shelo hukof l'dira. He agrees with that this was a large area, more than a beis hasayim, that wasn't hukof l'shem dira, therefore you can't carry it, and therefore this Abarnaka is kimin achsadra okuva shebonin hamalochim betoch hapardei shalhem. This is actually a structure. This Abarnaka, you can see this in the diagrams in the art scroll in diagram number 20. You can actually see this in Tosfos, the diagrams in Tosfos at the bottom of the Amud. And you can see this clearly as well in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 131 or in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 160 on page 54. And here you can see the Illustrated Gemara has a whole fancy structure that they had some sort of a porch-like structure that they made in addition to the tree to provide shade. This is a very fancy structure. And you had the individual stakes, the posts that you put into the ground to allow you to carry from the house directly to underneath this tree. So you're making a path, not that you'd be able to carry in the entire area, but just directly in the path that you're making from the house all the way to this Bar Avarnaka. So this is Rashi's preferred pshat, and this is the pshat that we'll continue with the rest of the day. In any event, the Gemara now continues. This is what the Reish Galusa asked Rav Huna Bar Chinna to do, and he did it. Azar Rava was unhappy with this. We turn to the Omer Aleph, Chavavon Aleph, and Shal Finu. He took it down. This structure that Rav Huna Bar Chinna made, Rava took down. Shal Finu means Delo Sirle Ha Takanta. He felt that you didn't need to make such a takana. It wasn't necessary. You're allowed to go and carry in the entire area. If you look at the structure in the Illustrated Gemara, as I mentioned, so you can really see that they really built something under this tree. This Abernaka was a very fancy structure. And as a result, this is considered that you put a house inside the Karpov. And therefore, when you put it inside the Karpov, that is better than even when it's Hukov Ladira. It is now that you made a house inside of it, and therefore, the Hava Minovia of Rava is that you're allowed to go and carry within the entire area, and you don't need these vertical posts to make either a path like in Rashi's preferred pshat, or to make a shomera to make up an area that the person would stay in overnight, and the food was there, and you would watch it, so you don't need either of these things. So Rava pulled up the vertical posts that Rav Huna Bar Chinna had put in. Azal Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, two of Rava's Talmidim, they went and they took away the sticks. Rava had just pulled them up but left them there. So these two Talmidim, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, Naktinu Mibasrei, they took them away from that area. The reasoning behind this, Rashi explains, Shelo Yachzor Rav Huna V'Yiskane. So they didn't want Rav Huna to say, oh, somebody uprooted, some hooligan uprooted my post over here, and he would just put him back before Shabbos. So they took him away, so he wouldn't even be able to do that. So bottom line is, there's nothing there right now. Lamacha, the next day, Eser Ravina Rava. Rava had done this because he said you can carry in the whole area, so we'll have now several questions as to Rava, was he right in his halachic approach. So Ravina has the first question, and he asked Rava, how could you say you can carry here in this entire area? After all, we have a braisa that says, Ir chadosha modid in law mishivosa. When you have a city, so how do you decide the tchum of the city? Mitzvah Hashem, the next parak, we'll finish Mitzvah Hashem the parak today. The next parak deals a lot with the halachos of tchum. So when you're measuring the tchum, you measure it from the city limits. How do you define the city limits? So if it's an ir chadosha, which is defined, Rashi says, that the walls of the city were first put down, and then they started building the city house by house from inside. So in this situation, this is called an Ir Chadosha. Rashi says, Imukefes Choma, it first had the wall, the Einom Yusheves Kula, and the entire city, however, wasn't filled in. Kishabo Limdo Tchumel, when you go count the Tchum of the city, you don't count it from the wall. Lo Yimdo Lo Min HaChoma, Ela Min HaBatim, you only count it from the last house. The Choma saw Lav Chomahi L'Shaviua Kulo Kedalet Amos. You can't consider this entire city like we normally do as one Dalet Amos for your Tchum, because Hoel V'Shivosu Chadosha. It's new. You built a wall, and then you're going to build the part of the city, so you only go from where the city is. Shekadma Chomosu L'Shivosu. In a situation where the wall preceded the city, then you don't count from the wall, but you count from the last house in this city. And that's where you start your Tchum. However, Rashi says, Avo Yishana, if you're dealing here with a city that was first made, and then they put up the wall, She Yishuva Yishana, the houses were there, and they kept on growing and growing and growing. People said, hey, we better protect ourselves. V'kidem l'chomasa, the houses were there before the wall, then modin lo mechomasa. Then even if the houses don't go all the way up to the wall, He built the wall a little bit further, but now the wall is considered like his hukaf ledira. That will be the analogy, and therefore you count the city limits from the start of the city limits from the start of the wall, and actually 72/3 amah beyond it, and that is the difference between an old city, quote, that the city was there before the wall, and a new city, quote, that the wall was there before the city. So this is what Ravina is questioning Rava, and he says, Ir chadasha modin lo mishivasa, this new city, which in other words, the wall was there before the city, you count from the houses, not from the wall. The yishana, but if the dwellings were there first, and then they put up a wall, even though they made the wall further away, then you can count the city limits from the choma. How do you define Ezi Chadosh or Ezi Yishon, as we just learned in Rashi? Chadosh means Shehukov, it first had the wall put up, Ulubsov Yoshua, then they put in the individual houses. Yishana, the definition of an old city, is that Yoshua, they first had the houses, and then subsequently Ulubsov Hukva, they put up the walls, even though they stretched them further out, that's okay. Bahainami, and he says, in this situation, this Abarnaka that they put up, this fancy structure, is according to Rashi's preferred pshat, Kihukva, Ulubisof Yoshva Dami. This is equivalent to they first put up the walls and then they put up the dwelling. So then the dwelling doesn't allow you to go and say that the entire area is enclosed. Hukof Ladira. So this is analogous to the city that was first put up the walls. Ulubisof Yoshva Dami. As Rashi brings down, it is considered in this situation when you make the Bustana, that's already put up first. And Nami Kahukov, that's as if it was enclosed. Ulubisof Yoshav Domi. And therefore, when you made that barnica, so that's not going to allow you to carry with the whole thing. Shekodim nitiyoso, before you planted this tree, mekifinoso was already enclosed. Uliacha shegid elo ilan, and only after the tree grew up, and they made this structure, this fancy structure, yehosu abarnica, sovid, hilkach shapir ovid ravuna barchinina. So in fact, Ravina is saying that, hey, why did you pull up those vertical posts that Ravuna barchinina put in? They were really necessary. That's according to the second preferred pshat of Rashi. According to the first pshat of Rashi, when you made the Shomera, it doesn't do you any good because the fact that you're now putting in an enclosure there, it's too late. It's after it was already hukuf and it won't work. So that's question number one against Rava from Ravina. Now, quite surprisingly, the two Talmidim of Rava, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, who took away the vertical post to make sure that Rav Huna Bar Chinina didn't put him back up again, each of them now also questions whether Rava was right. Amalei Rav Papa le Rava, this Talmid of Rava, Rav Papa, who took away the vertical post, now questioned Rava, hey, were we really right? But Amalei Rav Asi, he brings down for Rav Asi, who said, Mechitzos Adrucholin. Loshma Mechitza. What are Adricholin? So Rashi brings down, this is Banoim, these are builders. Sha'osu Mechitza Letzel, Sivil Sehem. They put up shade when they're working, so they don't want to have the sun beating down upon them. They put up these temporary structures, Kishabonim Mechama, when they're building in the sun. You can see a nice example of this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 134. So this is a temporary makeshift type of a structure. So Rav Papa says to Rava, these mechitzas that they put up for the workers, lo shma mechitza, halachically are not considered good mechitzos. Why not? Gemara says, amo kiven dilitziniyuso avidala, they're only put up there for some sort of a tznius type purpose. In other words, you're going to take it down, meaning here it's temporary. You only put it up there for the person, to the workers, to have this potential area blocking the sun, and they could do whatever they need to do besides this area. So therefore, it's not considered a mechitza. Lo havi mechitza. So too, hochanami. So too, over here, in our case of the Abarnaka, when they put up some sort of an enclosure around this area, when they built this structure, according to the second pshat of Rashi, hochanami, kibin de litzniyuso avida, they only put up these partitions around this tree in order that the people should have a temporary concealment. They want to, you know, take off their jacket and lie in on their chairs, so they should be comfortable in this situation. It's also kiva delitzniyus avida. They put up these as just for a day or two, Rashi explains. Ulamachor sasrilu, they're going to take it down. Therefore, lo havi mechitza. It shouldn't count as a mechitza. So again, Rava, why did you take down those vertical posts? Taka, they seem to have been needed, and Rav Huna Bar Chinina was correct. And finally, the other Talmud of Rava, Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, also asked a question. So there are three questions against what Rava did. Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Rava, he says it was Rebbe, but Rav Huna said the following. Mechitza ha'asuya l'nachas lo shmo mechitza. Now that's the girsa that we have, that it's a mechitza ha'asuya l'nachas, which we're going to find, according to our girsa, shalo l'adusham. L'nachas means not for dwelling purposes, elo lishtamer mash yanichusham. But the whole purpose is to protect what is over there. So that's the girsa that we have. On the side it says the girsa she'ena asuya l'nachas means it's not for dwelling purposes, but it's for the purposes of protection. Both of them, whether you have the girsa she'ena asuya or you have the girsa asuya, they both mean the same thing. In other words, this mechitza that they had put up around this abarnaka is not for the purposes of the mechitza. It was to store or protect. In the first version, it's very clear. First shot of Rashi, it's that they made this enclosure to put the food in, to store and protect the food over there with a person watching it. In any event, Rabba Bar Rav Huah was ma'ariv l'lekula mechuzah. The raya that Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua is bringing to Rava is that Rav Huna, again, it's not the same Rav Huna, this is Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua, who asked Rava, he brings down from Rav Huna, the Rav Huna, the famous Talmud of Rab, so he said that when he was making a mechitza around the city of Mechuzah, which Rashi points out was not a very large city, and could have had one Erev Chatzeros for the entire city, one sheet of Mevoyis would have worked for the entire city, Rashi reminds us that at Ir Kitana, She'ein Nichnosim Bo Shishim Ribo, if it's a smaller city that doesn't have 600,000 population, we're going to learn on Daf Nun Tes, that has the status of being like an Ir Shoyochid, and you're allowed to be Ma'ariv the entire city and make one Erev for the entire city. Therefore, Rabba Bar Rav Huah should have made one Mechitza for the entire city, but he didn't. When he made an Erev for Mechuzah, Ma'arv lo l'kula Mechuzah, arsiyosa. He made it, Rashi says, shchunos, arsiyosa means neighborhood. He made each neighborhood separately and didn't combine them. Rashi points out, each neighborhood had many different Mevoyos making up the neighborhood, but still it was a smaller city that he could have combined all the Mevoyos, but he didn't. Why didn't he make one? He didn't allow them to make one big sheet of Mevoyis for the whole city. The Afalpi Shoyisa Ir Kitana, as I pointed out, it was an Ir Kitana, and he could have done so. So the Gemara explains why he didn't do that. Mishum Peira Debei Ture. Because, Rashi points out, they had these ditches. You can see the diagram here that we have in the Rashi, or you can see this in the art scroll in footnote number 12. Or you can see this nicely illustrated in the Pirush Chai in diagram 135, that they had all these different shechunos, and they used to have a area where they would store fruits. Rashi explains that this was a shocha amuka, these deep ditches, hoysa ben shchuna l'shchuna, that were separating one neighbor from the other neighborhood, and they would place in these deep pits, menichin garine tomorrow, they would put the seeds from dates, and this was for the purpose of having food for their animals. Lecho ha-shvarim, the oxen would eat this. And these were unprotected. Va'ir ein lechoma, didn't have a choma around it. And umuvos shel batei ha-shchunos mefuloshim. And you could go from one side of the city to the other side of the city. They were open. And therefore, in order for you to go and make an era for the entire city, they had to enclose these mavos. Now, they could have enclosed it with anything, but they enclosed it with some sort of a flimsy mechitza, really not to enclose the city, but to go and protect their pira de bay ture, to protect people or animals from coming in and eating the tainim seeds, the pits that they had over here. So therefore, asu mechitzos l'rosh ha'mavos l'chol tzad shechutz l'ir, but not for the purposes of enclosing the city, elo lishtamer ha'garinin. The lo choshev le mechitza. This is Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua's question to Rava, based upon Rav Huna telling us this story about Rabba Bar Rav Huah, that he didn't allow such flimsy mechitzas to be used to enclose the city for carrying purposes. Therefore, they're not considered good mechitzos. So to over here, in our Bar Nokka, how could you allow them to carry with those flimsy mechitzos? As Mari says, this is for storage purposes. Again, the girsa that we have, lenachas, means for storage purposes. We have the girsa, she'ena asuyo lenachas. It means that they weren't made for a relaxing purpose, that they were made to protect something. And that's not considered, those flimsy mechitzos for protection, not for dwelling, are not considered good mechitzos. So this is the end of the third question against Rava, two from his Tamidim and one from Ravina. Now Reish Kalus is not happy because now he can't carry. Rava's been schlugged up. So Kari Aleha Reish Kalusa, the Reish Kalusa says about these two Talmidim of Rava, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Yeshua, who they were co-conspirators with Rava in making his Abarnaka not usable that Shabbos, but they themselves were the ones that showed that Rava was wrong. So Chachamim Hema Lohara Ulehetiv Lo Yodu. He quoted the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which says that the Chachamim are prone to do bad, but to do good, they didn't know how to do it. In other words, they did the bad thing. They took away those posts that Rava had set up, but they themselves didn't believe that what Rava had done was correct. So he uses this passage from Yirmiyahu, which refers not to really Chachamim, it refers to Rishayim, but he played on the words and said, you Chachamim, you only know how to do bad, you don't know how to do good. You pulled away my posts, and now I don't have a place to carry in my Abarnaka because you took away the correction that Rav Huna Bar Chinina had put up. Now we go back and we quote the Mishnah. We said the opinion of Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi brought down three things. Shemati me Rabbi Elazar was the gear, so we had in the Mishnah, but everybody said it should be Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Loi says the three things he heard from Rabbi Eliezer, and the first one was Vafilu Beis Kor. He said that, no, this limitation, that if it's more than a Beis Kor and it wasn't Hukaf Ladira, that is not a problem. You still can carry in this area if it is enclosed. Our Mishnah is not in accord with the opinion of Chananya. What did Chananya say? The Tanya, we're learning the Braisa. Chananya says, Omer, afilu hi arboim saw. No, the opinion of Rabbi Loi said it could even be a base core. And Chananya says, no, not a base core, which is 30 saw. I heard that it could even be 40 saw, which is learned from ki isratya shomelach. Learned previously in Esrach is like a highway. So this is like the highway that goes through the yard of a king. So even up to 40 saw, it's allowed. So there's a machlokas over here between Rabbi Loi saying over the name of Rabbi Eliezer that even up to 30 saw is good, and Chanani says even up to 40 saw is good, and Rabbi Yochanan says both of them learned it out from the same pasuk. Both Rabbi Loi and Rabbi Chananya darshan the following pasuk from Melachim Beis, where it says, there's a famous story where Yeshaya goes to visit Chizkio because Chizkio got sick and Yeshaya is giving him Musa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who should have gone to visit who? Yeshaya said, and this is in the Gemara in Brachos, Yeshaya said, I'm the Navi, the king should come to me. And the king said, I'm the king, the Navi should come to me. Now each of them was doing the totally Shem Shavayim. The Gemara said, not an iota of personal self-interest. They were each standing up for the position. Yeshaya said, the Navi takes precedence over the king. And Chizkio HaMelech, who's a great tzaddik, said, no, the king takes precedence over the Navi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that Chizkio got sick, and Yeshaya had to come to him to do the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. In any event, in that situation, Shemar Vayhi Yeshayo Lo Yotza, now we have the word El, but it's not there in the Pasuk, Lo Yotza Chotzer HaTichona. Yeshaya, after he gave his message to Chizkio, said, you're going to die in this world, and you're going to die in the world to come, because Chizkio hadn't gotten married. He saw through Ruach HaKodesh that he would have terrible sons, and he in fact did. His son Menashe was the longest reigning melech of Malchus Yehuda, but he was a terrible king, and he says he lost a share in the world to come. Bar has a whole discussion, did he or did he not do tshuva? In any event, Chizkio HaMelech saw that he would have such a son, and he said, I ain't getting married. And Yeshaya tells him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about that. You shouldn't be going into the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should get married and do the best that you can. And ultimately, Chizkio says that I have a Kabbalah from my Zayda, from David HaMelech, that it's never too late to do tshuva. Very important idea, which is 100% appropriate for the month of Elul that we're in right now. And he said, let me marry your daughter. And he marries Yeshayo's daughter. And he has these two children, actually, as Menashe and Rav Shaki. Rav Shaki dies, and Menashe goes on to kill Yeshayahu. So he kills his own grandfather. That's how bad Menashe was. And we're at the part of the story where Yeshaya gave his message to Chizkio, and he left. But it takes a long time to get out. He was still, even in the Chotzer HaTichona, he hadn't exited the palace. He was only up into the middle of the courtyards. The king's palace had a lot of courtyards. And it says in the Pasuk, Chatzer HaTichona, but this is a Ksivu Kri. It's unusual. We have this in a couple of places. We have this in the Tochacha that we'll be reading this Shabbos. So you have certain words that are actually totally different than the way that they're pronounced. So this is an example of that. Ksiv Ha'ir Ukrin and Chatzer. The Pasuk is read as ear, but it's written as chotzer. And this is to teach us an idea. That these highways of the king, these courtyards that the king had, were so big, they were like small cities. And since it's called the city, so what are Rabbi Loi and Hananya arguing about it, how big this is? So they both learned it from the same pasuk. Rabbi Loi said, "Ma'ar Sovar Ayoros Beinonios Havion Beis Kor." He said that these, this Israt Yishomelah, this city over here that's called the Chotzer Tichona, so it's the size of a Beis Kor. And Hananya Umar Sovar Mem Sov Havion. He says that it's 40 Sov. That's what their machlokus is. Now the Gemara says, "Yishayo, my boy, awesome. What was Yishayo doing over there? How come he didn't exit fully?" So I'm a Rabbi Barachano, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells the name of Yochanan, Melame Shecholo Chisyo. We know the famous story, as I mentioned, from the Gemara in Brachos and from the Nach itself in Lochem Beis, that Chisyo got sick. So what was Yishayah doing? V'holach Yishayo v'hoshiv yeshiva al pischo. And Yishayah was setting up a yeshiva there that the schus of the Talmidim learning there should be a schus for Chisyo HaMelech. He was a great, great tzaddik, Chisyo. Yishayah knew that, and therefore he wanted Chisyo to live. And he set up a yeshiva there. There should be an additional zchus for tzidkiyahu. That's why people learn. They do mitzvos. They do all sorts of tztaka, chasadim, for a sick person. There should be a zchus in the benefit for that person. They should get a refuah shlema. So the Gemara says, Mikan l'talmid chacham shecholot. When a talmid chacham gets sick, it's very appropriate, shemoshivim yeshiva al pischo, that you should set up a yeshiva by his doorway, so that additional learning should be a zchus for the sick talmid chacham. Gemara says, however, we don't practice this lamaisa. The Lav Milsi, this idea that Rabbi Yochanan had said, Rabbi Baruch Hanan said, Rabbi Yochanan, is not what we do lamaisa, because Dilma Osir li gruye beis satan. This is only caused the satan to, so to say, get worse. Rashi points out the satan is malach hamavus, and therefore, this is not a good idea in general for us to do. So how come Yishayah did it for Chizkiyah? So the Mefarshim will bring down that Chizkiyah was different. If you're such a huge Talmud Chacham and Chizkiyah, so then this is a good idea. But for even a regular Talmud Chacham, it's not such a good idea, because the benefit that you're gaining from this Talmud Torah is going to, so to say, incite the Malachim of us even more, and it's not a good idea. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah, the second statement that Rabbi Loi made in the name of Rabbi Lezer. V'chein shamati amenu an shichot. If you have a person in a courtyard and one of the people forgot to participate in the Erev, if one of them didn't do it, so we mentioned in the Mishnah, when we learned this, that he's mevatel his reshus to the others, and therefore they can all carry. So that was the Mishnah. But he himself can't carry. Laura says, wait a second, but how could Rabbi Loi say this name, Rabbi Eliezer? We learned in a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, on Daf Samach Tes, it says there, Beso Asur Lahotzi Ulahaknis Ulo Vilohen. We learned that, according to Rabbi Loi, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, that while this person who forgot to make the Erev, he can't carry in and out of his house, from his house to the Chotzer, from the Chotzer to his house, everybody else can. But later on in Amasechta, on Daf Samach Tes, it's going to say that nobody can carry from his house to the Chotzer, from the Chotzer to his house, even other people, even not doing it for him. So that's a stira between the Mishnah later on and our Mishnah. So where it says, Amar Rav Huna, Breder Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Huna, Breder Yeshua, Sending Rav Sheshes, Lo Kasha. There's not a problem. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Loi, and the Mishnah on Daf Samach Tes, not a problem. They're two different opinions. Oh, Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Loi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and that Mishnah on Samach Tes, oh, Rabbanon, that is the opinion of the Chachamim. And our Gemara says, I'll show you that it's right. Ukishatim Siloma, when you look into it, Ledivri Rabbi Eliezer, Benvatel Rishus Chatzero, Rishus Beso Bitel. The reason why in our Mishnah, Rabbi Loi, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, says that you can have other people carry in and out of the house, is because according to his opinion, when you're this person who shachach to make the Erev, is mevatel reshus chatzero, he's not only be mevatel his rights in the chatzer, he's also be mevatel the rights in his house. Mevatel reshus chatzero and reshus beis obitel. And therefore, his house now belongs to everybody else, so to say. And therefore, they can carry all they want from the chutzah into their house because it's now their house. And from their house, this former guy's house, into the chutzah for themselves, for their own purposes. They don't really own the house, but it's from a halachic point of view, this person has given up his rights. And therefore, the rest of the people in the Erev, they do have the rights to his house and to his courtyard, and therefore they go back and forth. He can't. That's the understanding of Rabbi Loi, Omer Eliezer. However, according to the Chachamim, Dav Samach Tes, Rabbanan, Hamavata Rishus Chatzero, this person who forgot to make the Erev says, okay, I'm giving up the rights in the Chatzer, he's not giving up the rights to his house, Rishus Bezel Obita. So therefore, you can't carry from the Chatzer to the house, or from the house to the Chatzer, anybody, not even the other people. Where it says, Pshita, you know, obviously this is the case. What is this Chiddush? The Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, is telling us in the name of Rav Sheshes. So Gemara says, Omar Rachva, Rachva tells us, Ano, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Targimin, I'll, and my colleague, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, will explain it to you. The Chiddush here is, Lo Nitzrucha, the additional point that he's telling us here is for Elo Lechamisha, Sheshuyim B'chotzer Echot. This is if you have five people that are going to live in one chotzer. Now, what happened? One of them forgot. So the other four, he's going to be mevatel his reshus to the other four. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Divrei Eliezer, kishu mevatel reshuso, when he's mevatel his reshus to the other, he's doing it to the group, but he doesn't have to do it to each one individually. It's enough to say, I'm giving up my rights. He doesn't have to go to each one of them and say, I'm giving up my rights to you, I'm giving up my rights to you, I'm giving up my rights to you. Even if he doesn't say so specifically, he means that he's giving up his rights to all of them. But according to the Rabbanon, Kishumavato Rishuso, when this person who forgot to participate in the Eruv is now wanting to give up his rights to the other four, the only way that will work is Tzorich Levato L'chol Echod V'Echod. According to the strict opinion of the Chachamim, he has to go and be Mavatala to each and every one of them, or else his bitul isn't considered a good bitul. Moriaz, Kiman Oz Lohodatanya, in accord with whose opinion is the following Brysa. Chamisha Shishurim Chotzer Echo, the Brysa is a similar scenario, that you have five people living in a town in a Chotzer, and Vishachachach Mehem Velo Yerv, one of them forgot to make an Erev, and he now wants to be Mavatal Rishus to the others. So Kishu Mavatal Rishus, so in order that they should be able to carry, he's Mavatal Rishus, so Einot Sarach Levatal Rishus Lekolecho V'Yechod. You don't have to go and make a separate Bittel to each one of them. It's enough to make a group Bittel, and that's fine. So who does this go like? So the Girsa that we have is, we don't know who the Brysa goes like, and we say, come on, Rabbi Eliezer, this goes like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. This is version number one. Rav Kahana, Masni Hochi, and Rav Kahana learned this Brysa in this fashion. However, Rav Tuvyumi, Masni Hochi, Rav Tuvyumi learned it in the following way. Kiman Oz Lohodetanya, in accord with who is the following Brysa? The same Brysa. There's no difference between version one and two, it's just the way it was said. So, hey, Shruyim B'chotzerecha, you have five people living in one courtyard, and one of them didn't make an Erev, so he wants to be Levatel Rishus, Kishu Levatel Rishus, so when he's Levatel Rishus, Eino Sech Levatel Rishus to call Echav Yechav. He doesn't have to go to each one individually, it's enough to give a group Batola. And now the Gemara asks on this Brisa, so Kiman, who is this like? And here we have Beferish, Amr of Huna, Bar Yudah, Amr of Sheshet. He, Beferish, says it, Kiman, who is this like? Kirabi Eliezer. So there's no difference between the two versions of the outcome, just the first one it's implied, the second one is Beferish stated by Rav Huna Bar Yehuda in the name of Rishashis. Mark continues and asks on this, Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, Rav Papa asks to Abaye, according to this opinion, Rabbi Loi, Amar Eliezer, Li Rabbi Eliezer, I Amar Lo Mevatilna, if the person says, no, I'm not giving up my house, right? According to the opinion of Rabbi Loi, Amar Eliezer, the person is de facto giving up not only his share in the courtyard, but also his house. He's relinquishing the rights not only to the courtyard, but also to his house. What happens if he says, I don't want to? What happens if the person says, according to Eloi, Rabbi Eliezer, that he automatically gives up the rights to his house, and he says, no, I am not. I'm not giving up the rights to my house. I'm giving up the rights to the courtyard, but I'm not giving up the rights to my house. So what would be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in that situation? Are they still allowed to carry into his house from the courtyard whatever the other people want to, or not? And likewise with Rabbanan, who normally say that the person does give up the rights to his house, what happens if he said, yeah, I'm willing to give up the rights to my house as well. I'm giving up not only my rights to the courtyard, but also giving up rights to the house. My, what would be the halacha in both of these scenarios when a person goes against their default position? He Beferish says, no, I'm not giving up the rights to my house like Rabbi Eliezer says he normally does. Or, according to the Chacham, he says, I am giving up the rights to my house, whereas the default position of Chacham is not giving up his rights. Does that change their opinions? So, Rav Papa says, Taima, the Rebbe Eliezer, Mishum Dikusava, the reasoning, the Rebbe Eliezer permits you to go and carry from the courtyard into the house by the other people is because Hamavato Rishus Chatzero, Rishus Beisel Bittel. He normally gives up the rights not only to the courtyard as well as to his house. But here, I, Omar, I know Lomi Latilna. Here he says, I'm not giving it up. So what would be that locha? Do we say, oh, Dilma, time of the Rebbe Eliezer, do we say that the reasoning of Rebbe Eliezer is Mishum de Bayis below Chotzer, Lo Avide Inche de Daire, because nobody wants to live in a house that doesn't have a courtyard. They use their courtyards a lot. So therefore, if you can't have the courtyard, give me liberty or give me death. I don't want to go and have such a house. That's the default position. So therefore, that's why when a person is Mivatel is Rishus in the Chotzer, he's by default also Mivateling Rishus in the house. That's the first version. But here, Odilma, time of the Rebbe Eliezer, Mishum, the bias below Chatzalo, Avidi, Inshid, the Diary. Normally, that's true. But the key karma, Loma Vatilna, since that is so true, even if he says, I'm not giving up the Rishus in the house, Lav Kol Kamine, it's worthless. Because by default, once you are giving up the Rishus in the Chatzar, you are, even if you say otherwise, also giving up the Rishus in your house. That's the other side of the coin. So this is the question, according to Rav Papa. What is Rebbe Eliezer's opinion? Do we say, no, it's the default position that you're normally giving up the house, unless you say you're not giving up the house? Or do we say, no, even if you're saying I'm giving up my rights in the courtyard, and that normally means I'm giving up my rights in the house, and even though you say I'm not giving up my rights in the house, the position is that you are giving up the rights in your house. So those are the two sides of the coin. The Rav Papa is asking, what would be Rebbe Eliezer's opinion? And that's what the Gemara says. I forgot the Omer, Dairina, Lav Klum Karma. Even though he says, no, I will be in my house. And even though I'm giving up the rights in the courtyard, he's also still giving up the rights in his house. Those are the two sides of the coin to Rabbi Eliezer. Likewise to the Rabbanon, same exact question. The Rabbanon, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, who normally say that the default position is that you don't give up your house when you say you give up the courtyard, but here he's saying, I'm willing to give up my house, Rabbanon. What would be the halacha? What are the two sides of the coin according to the question, according to Rav Papa, according to the Chachamim? Do we say time of the Rabbanim Mishum de Kosavri, the normal default position of Chachamim is the person is not giving up the rights to his house, Hamavatu Rishus Chatzero, Rishus Beis, Lo Bitel, and therefore the default position is you can't use the carrying from the courtyard into the house because he still retains the house and he doesn't have the rights in the courtyard. But in a situation, Vayom Vatilna, where this guy's saying, no, I'm willing to give up my house as well, so we listen to him. And therefore, according to the Chacham, now everybody will be able to carry from the courtyard into the house and vice versa. Or do we say no? Again, the default position remains no matter what he says. Odilma, time of the Rabbanon, the reasoning of the Rabbanon is Mishum de lo ovid inish de masalik nafshi legamri vice the chotzer. Because a person is not going to totally give up his rights to his house and the chotzer. He may be willing to leave the chotzer, but he's not giving up the rights to his house. And therefore, if he were to say that he does give them all up, that'd be kiorech legabayu. He would make himself into a guest. Nobody's willing to make themselves into a guest in their own house. And therefore, when he said, when he said, oh yeah, I'm willing to give up the rights of my house, lav kol kamine, we don't believe him. And therefore, his words are worthless. And therefore, again, the second side of the coin is that even when he says, I'm willing to give up the rights to my house, you still can't carry. So these are the two questions, the two sides of the coin to both Rabbi Eliezer and to the Chum. How do we paskin? This question was asked to from Rav Papa to Abaye. So Abaye responds and he says, Omalei, Bein L'Rabbanon, Bein L'Rabbanon, both according to the opinion of the Chacham in the second case, where the guy says, I'm willing to give up my house, and according to Rav Eliezer in the first case, where he says, I'm not willing to give up my house, given the Gali Daite, Gali, we follow what he says. We don't say Lav Kol Kamine. He said, according to Rav Eliezer, I'm normally, the default position is he gives up his house, but he says, I'm not giving up my house, so then Rebbe Eliezer would not allow you to carry from the courtyard into his house. And the second case, according to Chacham, they normally say that the default position is you don't give up your house, but here he says, I am willing to give up my house, so he gives up his house, according to Chacham, he would be allowed to carry, now everybody would be allowed to carry from the chotzer into the house and vice versa, because the guy did give up his rights. So their positions are flipped in this situation. Here, Rebbe Eliezer would be more machmer, because he says the guy was megala that he's not giving up his house, and now the rest of the people can't carry from the courtyard into the house, and the more machmer position of the chachamim becomes the maker position now, because he was megala that he is giving up the rights to his house, and therefore the rest of the people in the courtyard can carry from the courtyard into the house. Finally, we conclude with a third statement. We quote the Mishnah that Rabbi Eloi made in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and he said, I heard, b'chein shamati mimenu, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer, shiotzin, we are kablin, b'pesach. Again, we had a lot of different ways to pronounce that word, akrablin, akarbilon, whatever this actually was. It was some sort of a vegetable. We said that maybe it was in the shape of a scorpion, the leaves of it. So he says, you can use this for maror on Pesach. So what exactly is my akablin or akrablin? So Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said it's something called atzvasa charuziyasa. Rashi explains this is siv ova. This is like a thick growth that grows around the palm tree. The nichrach, and it's bent over. The olabo kilulave gefanim, and it rises up. It's bent around this, and it rises up like the palm fronds. Rashi explains charziyasa means tekufos har beyachad. There are a lot of them held together, and it has the taste of marv, v'tam marbo. So he learned that this is one of the acceptable vegetables that a person could use for marar. With that, we conclude the three statements of Rabbi Loi that he said over the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and with that we conclude the parak. Hadron Alecha Osir Pasin, Hadron Alecha Osir Pasin, Hadron Alecha Osir Pasin. This will conclude the Shir. Yezus Hashem, we'll start the third parak, B'chol Me'uravim, tomorrow.